And I'm actually really lucky. We got a full studio today. We're just packing out this little building. I've actually got Jeff here and Lou from the Faith and Freedom Coalition. And I'm just so blessed to be able to have you guys. We've been talking through email and on the phone. And we've just been, it feels like a red state when you guys are around. I mean, we might be surrounded by, liberalists, but boy, howdy, it feels like, the heartland of conservatism when I'm, chatting with you guys. So I'm just really thankful to be able to have you guys here on the show today.
Thanks, Roy. It's great to be here. And we just appreciate KKPZ and 1330 and what you're doing for the Christian community.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll just introduce Jeff Kuber. And Jeff, you might just say a few words, and then we'll get started.
Sure. Yeah, my name's Jeff Kuber. I'm actually outside of your listening range. Unfortunately, I was looking at where you guys reach, and I thought, I wish I lived closer. So I'm going to have to tune in via the Internet and listen more. And I see great programs. And, I'm Jeff Kuber. I live down south of Salem. Been involved in politics quite a bit, done a lot of things for different candidates, been to RNC conventions. And then one of the most recent things that Lou and I did and several others did is we went to the National Faith and Freedom Coalition Conference in June.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it was a great event. And, of course, the founder of Faith and Freedom is a guy named Ralph Reed. And Ralph has been a very instrumental and effective organizer of people of faith. And as I had looked at Oregon's problems, I looked around to see what other groups were doing nationally and found the Faith and Freedom Coalition.
Mm-hmm.
And so Ralph was the very instrumental leader of the Christian Coalition years ago, and that organization was very effective in helping elect conservative people who valued faith voters. And I think he was very instrumental in helping George W. Bush get elected.
Mm-hmm. And if I recall correctly, Ralph Reed has also been a very prominent Fox News contributor in addition to a lot of his other work that he has done with the Faith and Freedom Coalition. So you guys are not just some small group, that, kind of gets swept under the carpet, with all the other. It's like, no, this is a big national group, correct?
Correct. Roy, Ralph Reed also goes into Oval Office with the president and pray for him with a number of pastors from Reverend Graham and different other pastors praying for him. So the background that I have with Ralph, he was started Christian Coalition years ago. And at that time in the 80s, people doesn't know that we had a conservative Christian Speaker of the House for a number of years.
Mm-hmm.
And but things have changed a little bit, so we hope to get back to...
Whoa, you mean the Speaker of the House isn't a conservative Christian right now? she said just the other day she was a good Catholic. She doesn't hate Trump at all.
Jeff and I go back a ways. I've been chairman of a Republican Party here years ago in Multnomah County in the 3rd District. Then also worked with Christian Coalition for 10 years when Ralph and Pat Robertson and Jay Sekulow. Mm-hmm. And so I go back a long way. So I'm kind of coming out of retirement in a way because the situation in our country is so critical.
Mm-hmm.
And we need, as Christians, really need to vote. And one of the main things that the Faith and Freedom Coalition of Oregon, that we want to get Christians to vote, because 25% is not even registered to vote, and only 50% vote, I understand. And so at this point, we need to tell Christians the situation here in Oregon and in the country, which I think a lot of them know, but they need to make a concerted effort to vote. And so that's one of our main topics.
Absolutely. Now, Jeff, I've got a question for you. There's a lot of, I know a lot of conservative Christians, but like you mentioned, Lou, they don't actually vote that much. A lot of them feel it's just pointless. They're like, this is a blue state. They feel like it'll always be a blue state. You know, they just see, you know, the crazy, overwhelming liberal majorities all over the place, especially in the, you know, the Portland metro area, which is the population center. So how can you, you know, what are some ways that you can discuss with Christians to basically give them some hope? What are some things that you guys have found out from your national work or even from local work here, where it's like, you know, you don't need to lose hope. It's okay. There is a path forward. So how can you inspire Christians who might be sympathetic to your position, but don't feel that voting makes a difference? What would you say to those people, especially here in Oregon?
Well, I think the first thing I would point out is that our governor, Keith Brown, only won by 50.1%. So in other words, if you could put all the opposition votes together, mm-hmm. there's just a few thousand difference. Now, you couldn't do that because some of them are Green Party and wouldn't do that. But the reality is that she is a 50.1% governor who enters the legislative session with both houses, unfortunately controlled by about 62 or 63% Democrat. And the reality to me is that what we have here is a purple state that has been made to look blue because of the game plan that our opponents use. Mm. And it's a much more efficient game plan. And so you're right, some people are disheartened and they don't think their vote counts. But if we had everyone get out and vote, this state could be radically different. Even before mentioning these two other stories, if we just had a higher percentage of evangelicals and pro-life Catholics and LDS people, mm-hmm. Begin to vote more often, we would change Oregon simply with that, because statistics show that, like Lou mentioned, 50% of the people, evangelicals, are not voting. In our state, the registration really isn't that telling. Right now, there's 25% Republican, 35% Democrat, and the rest are unaffiliated.
Mm-hmm.
So this unaffiliated group is really the key to winning Oregon, because to most campaigns, they're an enigma. I don't know who you are, what your issues are. So if you're an unaffiliated voter who doesn't choose a party, no one knows who you are, and so they won't reach out to you unless they take some steps to find out about you.
Mm.
And so an interesting anecdote came about recently where the Democrat Party was considering opening their primary to unaffiliated voters. And they debated the issue, but they came out with a no, we're not going to do that. And the reason was that among the 1 million unaffiliated voters, they had found 319,300 of them were conservative.
Mm.
And so they thought that that was too dangerous a situation, in that somebody could organize and find those people and get them to vote for a more moderate or more conservative Democrat, and that would change the outcome of their elections. So they decided not to do that. And so that is a very hopeful sign. And of course, in my thinking, when I hear somebody say 319,300 and not 315,000 or 320,000, my thinking is, they must have a list.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think one of the things that they do much more efficiently and effectively than our side is they find people's hot buttons, and they know about that voter much more than we do, which is one of the distinctives that we want to bring to bear, is some of the things we've learned essentially back in the 2010 election cycle.
Mm-hmm.
And then in that election cycle, I had a company named Action Solutions, and we were involved in a bunch of automated and live surveys that then identified about 50,000 conservative unaffiliated voters.
Wow, and that's a lot. Like people think that, you know, maybe 50,000 doesn't sound like that much. Maybe they think it sounds a lot. You know, we have to remember that it's like, you know, the multiple places in the presidential election cycle were won with less than 10,000 votes. I mean, it's like, you know, Donald Trump, you know, he had an overall, you know, popularity disparity, you know, of like a million or 2 million. But most of the really critical counties were won with only a few thousand votes on his behalf. These votes are really important. And it's even come down to the hundreds, and even occasionally in American history, down to the one vote, even for a national presidential level.
It is. It is all very close. And that's a reason to be very interested in casting your vote and making sure it gets in. The sad reality is that people don't vote. Even one time, I kind of looked through a list of people who didn't vote in a past election, and I found lots of people I knew. And I asked a few of them, well, what happened? Do you realize you didn't vote? Oh, I gave my ballot to my son. He must have forgotten to put it in. And so the importance of casting your vote, you just really can't leave it to anybody else. You've got to make sure it gets in because it is so important. And just look at, you know, nationally, if people want to find out about the national organization, they can go to ffcoalition.com. And underneath that, they'll find some different plans and stories. And it's my thinking and my belief that there's one of them that's mentioned as the 2020 Project. And I'm thinking that a lot of the national work helped elect Donald Trump in states like Michigan and Wisconsin and various ones that they helped to get out. And so we want to bring some of the ideas that come from a national group that are tested there and found to be effective. And we want to mold those together with some things we've learned here in Oregon about how to approach elections. Mm-hmm. And by doing so, I think Oregon is a completely winnable state. When the football coach Mike Riley came to Oregon, and I was living in Corvallis, and sadly the Beavers were not very good, but he brought a different mindset approach and helped mold teams that could win. And I believe we can do that in Oregon as well.
Jeff, one thing that I believe that the people, the Christians and the conservatives can do is to have a voter registration in their churches. Otherwise, somebody from their churches would take on themselves to bring the voter registration there and make sure people register the vote and then take it down to the office, the correct office in their county. So I think what we're going to do is help the churches to make sure they have a contact in each church that would push the voter registration with the pastors. Some pastors don't like to get involved, but I think we're in a critical state of our nation at this point. Mm-hmm. And so that's one of the things that, Rory, that we want to do.
No, absolutely. And that's always a good one. Now, I met Christians who are like, I don't like my faith and politics to mix. And I was like, wait, whoa. I mean, like, as a Christian, your entire life, everything you do should be influenced through your belief in Christ, including your politics. They're like, I can't be a single issue voter. Oh, like, heck, you can't. If that single issue is protecting the life of the unborn, if that single issue is supporting evil, you know, just because it might give you some tax benefits, you know, it's like, no, you know, of course not. You know, as Christians, we should actively be involved. And it's this artificial dichotomy that the left, I believe, has successfully sown into the minds of many conservatives that you shouldn't try to impose your values on others. It was like, but whose values will be imposed then? Because it's not like, you know, if the conservatives don't, the liberals won't. Some value system is going to be pushed. And I think we've, unfortunately, many of us have bought into the idea that, it's somehow immoral for us to push our beliefs, but not immoral for them to push theirs. So, having those contacts in churches is essential for helping to dissuade that mentality.
Just a couple points, Rory, that we as Christians should look at, and conservatives, is that the judges that the president is electing, I think it's up to 180 at this point.
Yeah, it was nice of Obama to leave a lot of gaps.
Yes, and so we're having those judges, if we put the right judges in Supreme Court for years, then we can have some constitutional biblical judges on this. For example, the other party in Virginia, they have a where a baby was born outside the womb,
mm-hmm.
and they say we'll allow that baby to die peacefully. And also in New York,
mm-hmm.
in New York, up to the day they're born, that they could abort a baby. And I know I have a 6-week child, and that is not a fetus, but that is a baby.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look at that, it just tears your heart. I have 12 grandchildren and close to 20 great-grandchildren, mm. 4 daughters. And so I think of our families in the future. What are they going to come against in the government? And the government wants to control us completely. And it's a choice between socialism and communism.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and capitalism.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I often hear from people Jeff, maybe you can speak to this more. We often hear, especially in Oregon, they try to push the idea that if you're conservative, you're somehow far right, and far rights are Nazi. But isn't it correct historically that the Nazis were actually leftists? Weren't they socialists?
I believe you're correct in that. And there were many fine Christian people who stood up against that and argued for freedom. And unfortunately, did not win that debate. But I want to go back to, you mentioned a tax benefit.
Yes, absolutely.
There are two things that came to mind when you said that. The first is that, yes, there has historically been this Johnson Amendment, which was there to restrain and was used as a point of fear by against churches and nonprofits for being too political.
Mm-hmm.
But my understanding is that President Trump has impacted that somehow. I'm not sure I understand all the ins and outs, but there are now more freedoms for churches. I think you've always been free as a church to say things like, we want to have a voter registration Sunday, and we want to encourage people to register to vote, and lose point of bringing the registrations and then making sure people fill them out and turn them in is a good point, that makes sure they get that it gets done. And I know that we've always had the freedom, for instance, for a pastor or a leader to get up and say, we should pray about our upcoming election, and by the way, you know, be sure and get your ballot in, you know, in time. Those kinds of things have always been available. And I think it would even be, even as the law stands today, it would have been fine for any church to, say, invite all the county commissioners to come to church and hear the concerns of a county and pray for them.
Mm.
But I think that there's even more freedom now underneath the Trump's newest information on that. And so I'm actually looking at a website trying to understand what that has done. But the other thing I wanted to bring up is that in Oregon, if you are interested in helping a political action committee, we have a rare tool called the Oregon Political Action Tax Credit. Now, a credit is different than a deduction on your federal. A credit is a dollar-for-dollar reduction. And right now, until the end of the year, any person who wanted to help us in our effort could go to our website, OregonFaithAndFreedom.org, and find a donate button, and they could donate as much as they want. But, you know, if they're an individual filing singly, they could take a $50 credit off of their Oregon income taxes. And if they're filing jointly, they could take a $100 credit. And essentially what that means is when they pay their Oregon income taxes, they would have already prepaid part of it, and they can reduce by dollar-for-dollar reduction that $50 or $100.
Absolutely. I mean, that's just, you know, a lot of people don't realize that's basically just free money. I mean, that's money you already get taken from you. It's already money that you're not going to get back, but you can decide where part of it goes. I often hear a lot of people be upset, like, well, I wish I could decide where my tax money went to. Well, this actually gives you the opportunity to decide part of that. You can actually take that $50 deduction, get it right off of your taxes, and be able to apply it towards great groups that are helping to fight for conservative causes like the Faith and Freedom Coalition. And $50, you know, may not sound like a lot. Of course, you can donate as much as you would like. But $50, when you spread it out across all of the Christians in the state, even just a tithe of those people giving $50 would be a huge amount of potential monetary impact that could significantly help to sway the state in several key ways.
You're right, and the sad reality is, I think I heard anywhere from 6 to 9% is the number of Oregonians who actually use this tool. And I actually did a little polling with our outreach to people, and you know, if people want to follow what we're doing, they can go to our website, and there they could send us an email. And one way we're reaching people is via email, so they could follow us via email. And the reality from my poll, I discovered a lot of people were not even aware of this in Oregon. So if you've moved from a new state, you may not have been at a state. I don't believe there's more than two or three states that have anything like this that allows you as a small donor to participate in an election supporting a PAC or a candidate and actually get all the money back. You know, that $50, $100 limit applies, of course. And there's some new thing related to really high income earners that might be a limitation on using that. But it's been here for years, and sadly, it's way underutilized. And then there were people who responded to my survey and said, I've heard of it, but I've never used it, which puzzled me. Like, this is a great tool, great thing. Why wouldn't you find a use for it? So if you're out there today, and you haven't done this, you must act in this calendar year for it to apply to this year. In other words, if you're thinking, oh, I'll wait until I file, tabulate my taxes, or you know, work on them, that'll be too late for this year. You can do it for next year, but if you want to do it this year, you have to cut a check or go to our website and donate online, and you have to do that before the 31st.
Jeff, one thing is when people move, they don't realize that they have to re-register. So those of you, I have a number of friends moved, and they have to re-register, and so we should encourage that. And we want to give them the website here. It's www.OregonFaithAndFreedom.org, and they could do a /donate. So you can donate right online, and it will make it easy for them also. It's OregonFaithAndFreedom.org/donate. So if you have a heart for our country, you want our country to change, you want our state to change, because Jeff, like you mentioned, there's only 1.5% that the governor won by, we could make a difference in Oregon. And like you say, well, I think we are a blue state. Most of the counties are conservative, but there's a handful of counties where the population is that is on the liberal side. And we're talking about not even liberals, but what's going on now is the left.
Mm-hmm.
And so some of the Democrats and other people, they are going too far to the left for us.
Mm-hmm.
And for our gains, for what's happening now because of the judges, because of the social issues, and for the economy, you know, the choice is great. And so we have a chance to really make a difference here in Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
And Lou, another story of encouragement is what happened during the last legislative session when the overreach of the progressive liberals and their total control led them to advance the idea of essentially mandating to parents a schedule of all of the inoculations and vaccinations their children should and must have in order to be part of the public school and other public things. And that really incensed a lot of people. There were lots of Democrat parents who were unhappy about that. But one of the groups that popped up out of that was